two women, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, a woman identified only by her first name, come to see the tomb. Now, in Matthew, it's not like the Gospel of Mark. They haven't been preparing the body, and they're coming back to continue preparing the body. No, they come to see the tomb. Had they just not seen where Jesus' body had been placed? Had they come to keep vigil there? Had they come to see if what Jesus had been saying had actually taken place? Matthew doesn't explain. But as they're approaching the tomb, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. Can't you imagine? They were terrified. And then there was this figure, this messenger of God, dressed in white, whose presence crackled like lightning, who said, "Don't be afraid." That's what angels always say. They teach them that at the Angel Academy. The first thing you say is, "Don't be afraid," because you're going to scare people otherwise, especially when you're accompanied by an earthquake. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know who you're looking for. Jesus, who was crucified." You see, he doesn't leave that part out, because without that part, today is empty of meaning. You're looking for Jesus Christ, who was crucified. Well, he's not here. He's raised, just as he said. But you go and tell his disciples that he is going before you into Galilee. He will see you there. You will see him there. That's my message. The angel, the messenger of God, entrusted the message of resurrection to Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, two women, the first proclaimers of the resurrection, the first preachers of the gospel. When they leave that place to go tell the disciples, as they walk along, who should they encounter but Jesus? And he says to them, "Greetings," like it's the most ordinary thing in the world. Like it was any other day and any other greeting, it would be like me seeing you and saying, "Hey." But it's not like every other day to them. They fall on their faces. They grab his feet. They want to hold on to him. They worship him. And then Jesus says, "Don't be afraid." Why would they be afraid of Jesus? I think the angel says, "Don't be afraid," because angels are fearsome presences. Jesus tells his disciples over and over and over again, "Don't be afraid," because he knows there's plenty to be afraid of. But he also knows the kind of people that fear turns us into. And he does not want his followers to be those kinds of people. "Don't be afraid," he says. "Go and tell my brothers," not disciples, "go and tell my kin that I am going ahead of you into Galilee. You'll see me there." Isn't that always the case? Isn't Jesus always going ahead of us? He certainly was for the disciples. He was always way ahead of them, both in his thinking as well as in his journeying. But you see, these women who had actually seen him crucified, all the men disappeared, but the women had actually seen him crucified. So they knew what the angel said was accurate. But they were astounded by the news he gave them. And yet they followed, taking that message, that first proclamation of the gospel, first to Jesus' disciples, his brothers. He had already told the sisters, hadn't he? And then it spread out to brothers and sisters across the world. And it spread out across the eons, and it spread out until it came to us, brothers and sisters of Jesus, who come to hear that same word of hope, that not even death can defeat the love of God. Rome tried to do it, didn't work. The religious authorities tried to do it, didn't work. Death tried to do it. It did not work, and it does not work today. God's love is more powerful than any of these. It's interesting they met Jesus just like an ordinary visit on an ordinary day, because you know what? I think we encounter people living the resurrected life all around us. Some of them stand out. A number of years ago in the mid to late 1990s, I met a couple of folks who lived that resurrection. I'd been invited to speak for the North Alabama Annual Conference for the conference session, and my host was gracious enough to be sure that I met two folks who live the resurrection, the Clems. They were both pastors. Kelly had been pastor of Goshen United Methodist Church, and on Palm Sunday of 1994, they were preparing to celebrate the entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. In fact, they were going to have a pageant in which Jesus would enter the church as if he were entering Jerusalem. And as everybody was getting their costume together and putting the costumes on, Kelly was holding their daughter Hannah, who was 4, and Hannah said, "I want to be in the story." So Kelly improvised a costume so Hannah could be in the story. About the time they were beginning to make that entry, a tornado passed through North Alabama and made a direct hit on Goshen United Methodist Church, destroying the entire church, leaving many injured. 20 lost their lives, including the man who was portraying Jesus in the pageant, and including Hannah. Kelly searched around to try to find her daughter, to try to find her parishioners. Being a pastor, she was trying to take care of other people. But finally, they took her out to wait in the waiting police car until she could be taken to the hospital herself. She said, "I didn't want to go back there. I asked the bishop for another appointment. I assumed that there would be no church there at Goshen anymore. So I wanted to get as far away from that place as I possibly could. But the congregation insisted on having Easter services that year, the very next week. So they set up folding chairs in the parking lot next to where that church had been." Kelly said, "That day I experienced church in a way I never had before. God's love pouring through broken vessels," because we were all broken. But it was God's love that poured out through those broken vessels. Here we talk about being the loving light of Christ. Maybe it's God's light that pours through us as broken vessels. But she experienced that presence of God in a palpable way. In the midst of leading the service, she read this text from Romans 8. "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation." Did you hear that? "Nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." After several years, the Clem family did get away, pretty far away. They went as missionaries to Lithuania, there to minister to folks in their own brokenness who had just come out of Soviet domination, who were trying to find their way and make their way as a new country. But now they're back in North Alabama. They have 2 daughters, grown now, pretty much, one almost out of high school, the other in college. But what they did was what Hannah wanted to do, what she asked to do. They wanted to be part of the story. Now, you're going to hear a lot of stories out there in the world. You're going to hear stories about power and prestige. You're going to hear stories about status and wealth. You're going to hear stories about who's in and who's out, who's acceptable and who isn't, who's right and who's wrong. And none of those stories are Jesus' story. We try to overlay Jesus' story with those stories. None of them are Jesus' story. This is Jesus' story. That not even death, not even the most unimaginable horror that a parent can experience, can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the story we come to hear this day. It's not just about eggs and bunnies. It's not just about joy, because you see, those women left, according to Matthew, in fear and great joy, because they knew what the world was like. We do too. I think we come here to hear the story of Jesus and be invited into it. To have somebody tell us, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Jesus has already gone ahead of us. He'll meet us wherever we're going. Wherever we are, he'll be there first. And we will not be alone. No matter what happens, no matter what life brings us, Jesus is waiting for us, ahead of us, always. We can choose any story we want to live. And some of them are pretty attractive, you know? But those two women who came to the tomb, they wanted to be part of this story. And Paul, to be able to write these words, he wanted to be part of this story. And the Clems, and that man who was to portray Jesus, and Hannah, they wanted to be part of this story. And I believe they all are. And on this Easter day, 20 years after that event, I can tell you, I want to be part of this story. How about you?